A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Jessica all along. A little bit of Santa. A little bit of who may be on the.
Hello, everybody. Hope you've been having a fantastic week. This is the Auto Alex Podcast, episode 49. We are one away from a half a century.
We're nearly at our 50th anniversary. Yeah.
That's a long time.
We're being consistent. That's 49 weeks of pure, unadulterated entertainment.
How long is that in years? How many?
Weeks? How long?
52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
So we've nearly done
7 years.
Wow.
7 years.
We've nearly done a whole year of podcast.
We have.
That's nice.
That is nice, isn't it? Mm. Speaking of podcasts, I was listening to the Louis Theroux podcast this morning.
That's definitely how you say his name. Yeah.
Theroux.
Yeah.
Theroux. Is it Laos?
I've met him once. Laos.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where'd you meet him?
At a Sidemen boxing match.
You what?
Yeah.
When did you go to a Sidemen boxing match? Sorry, this is about cars, but we just got to get this shit out of the way.
I don't know. When did I go? I don't know. It was about a year ago, but Louis Theroux was there. Got a picture with him.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, I was listening to it about he was interviewing Mia Khalifa.
Oh, is that Wiz Khalifa's other half?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. She's very famous.
Mm.
Very, very famous.
What for?
Jewelry design, as it happens.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you know her actual like on screen presence? Do you know about her on screen presence?
I've no idea.
Okay. Well, she has,
I didn't even know who
she's
got
was. A fantastic on screen. She's a fantastic
Does she
actress.
Have her bits on display
all over all over the screen.
Okay.
You know, so, she only did porn for 3 months, but that's all everyone remembers.
That will be why I don't know her.
Yeah. Okay, why?
Because I'm not interested in female bits.
Why not?
On my screen.
What's wrong with that?
Because I'm interested in man bits on my screen.
Oh, where's Big D?
I like man bits on my screen.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, if anyone didn't know, Taylor likes man bits all over his screen.
And all over my...
All right, before we get into the podcast, a massive hello to Stefan Shug, listening while stuck in two-hour traffic jam. James Vincent dropping the gearbox in his disco... No, it says Dicko 2 here. Rory wrote this, so it says Dicko.
Look, you corrected that because that did say Disco 2.
It actually didn't,
It said
though.
Disco 2.
No.
Look, he's correcting it in his Dicko 2. Though.
Dicko 2.
Josh did that the other day on his one as
he
well.
He did,
it must suffer with gearboxes.
Oh, really? Get your bloody legs down.
Your thing, I'm
telling
you.
Yeah, get your legs down. You're distracting me. We've got Elise and Aaron listening to the podcast on their honeymoon across Europe in their high-mileage Hero Volkswagen Transporter. Tyler listening at the side of a pool in Greece. Lindsay browsing Auto Trader to get a wee run around. Paul listening to the podcast on Pentawan Beach in Cornwall. Andy listening but can't help thinking Alex sounds like Scott Milt.
What's this?
Andy thinks I listen like Scott. I sound like Scott Mills.
You do sound like Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 2, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 2. Hello, everybody, and welcome today. The weather is cloudy and everybody is driving Peugeots.
Yes. I don't sound like Scott Mills.
You do.
How?
You do.
Right, say a sentence and I'll try and sound like Scott Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Mills.
Oh my God, Scott Mills.
What does Scott Mills sound like?
Apparently like me.
Can I Google what he sounds like?
Yeah.
While you Google, we've got Stephen Ball, whose highlight of the week is the podcast, clothing company Sea Dog, who we work with, and who also sent out a baby onesie with the Autonix logo and Amelia's name and a baby denim jacket with the Autonix logo.
Who's
I'm
Amelia?
I'm holding it. Who's Amelia? My baby.
No, that's Brenda.
Oh, Brenda Amelia. Yeah, you've misspelt Brenda. But yeah, I'm holding it. If you're listening, you can't see it, so stop looking. If you're watching, then I've got a little denim jacket there, which is very, very
it's
nice.
Really
no, just
cute.
Have the logo on the back
of
it.
It's and on the front. It's
and then
so
have a look
cute.
At this onesie. That is the bollocks.
Oh, that is
That's
cool.
so cool.
It is really cute. I didn't realise these were for Amelia. I thought they were yours.
I can't wait to get on to what you've been up to, Rory. You bitch. Where's the Scott
that
Mills?
That wasn't even me.
Where's
it was
Scott
him.
I know. I just like targeting the week.
I've Googled Scott Mills and I've come up with Scott Mills cake shop prank call.
Go on.
Okay.
What is this?
Hello, speak to me. How can I help? Hello there. I was looking at getting a cake for
no,
a
No, that's not even him.
Yeah. That is him.
Do you no, do writing that is him. On the cake?
That's not him.
That is Alex Kirsten.
That is not him.
That is Scott Mills.
A large chocolate cake.
That is
Chris.
Oh,
no, that's not. That's Chris. That's Chris. Yeah, that's... Wait, how do I find Scott Mills?
Okay, so he had one job to find Scott Mills.
There you go. That's Scott Mills.
You'll know that Becky is brilliant at doing calls. She's like our own version of...
All right, now you say Becky is brilliant at doing calls.
Becky is brilliant at doing calls. She is like our version.
You are Scott Mills.
I've shut your mouth.
You just want to be Scott Mills, isn't it?
I do want to be inside Scott Mills.
Okay.
And Rory's mum, Jackie.
All right, mum.
Oh. That wasn't as enthusiastic as last week.
You're right, Mum.
There you go. Right, Mum. How's she going? How's Jackie?
She's all right. She's on holiday.
Is she what?
Oh, yeah, is she going?
I feel like she's always on holiday.
Spain.
No. She's just... This is her first holiday in ages.
Where's she gone in Spain?
I know she's gone Mallorca.
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 She's gone to go see one of her friends.
Has she gone with the girls?
Got a place over there.
She gone with a girls' trip away.
Do they have one of those... what is it? Timeshares?
No, they actually live over there.
Oh, do they? Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair play. Yeah. People with timeshares are just
no,
like,
they sold up. They said the UK sucks and they moved over there. And I was like, fair play.
Fair play. Yeah. Are you thinking of doing that?
Yeah. I'm going to run away to Vietnam.
Okay. Oh, dear. So Jackie's doing all right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Before we get into what we've been up to, it's been a very busy week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a busy week.
A massive shout out to our very, very good friends, Holy, who are sponsoring the podcast, obviously, and they've been supporting not only us, but they've also been supporting the entire Auto Alex Multiverse. And we genuinely love what Holy have got to offer, because if, like us, good hydration is something you, I'm pointing at you, and you, actually, you're quite bad for hydration, Rory.
I'm terrible for it,
So if you struggle with that, Rory, then Holy's super low-calorie alternative to unhealthy and expensive energy drinks should be on the top of your list. So Holy ditches sugar, taurine, anything artificial in favor of 100% natural fruit flavors and colors to give you a great tasting drink that's super low in calories. I've been getting through Holy's hydration starter sets this week that includes two samples of Holy's seven best-selling flavors and also one of these really, really handy 500ml shakers. All you do is just open up a sachet, pour it into the 500ml shaker and then just add water. Taylor, what have you been drinking?
I've got peach.
Peach?
I've got peach hydration.
Yeah.
This one's really nice. I've already tried it. It's very, very refreshing.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like the peach one.
Servings are like 80p, super low calorie. So get yourself a Holy starter set. And it's a great alternative to all the, you know, all the shit energy drinks that you buy, that we buy. So if that sounds like something that you want to do, then get yourself a starter set and use code ALEXPOD5 for £5 discount off your first order. And then when you want to reorder, which you will because it's awesome, then you will get 10% off your order using the code ALEXPOD. Rory, thoughts?
It's very nice.
Good.
I drank quite a lot of it.
Oh, brilliant. Anyway, thank you very much, Holy, for sponsoring this podcast. Let's now move it on to what we have been up to. Rory, shall we throw it over to you?
I got a bit bored, so I drove to the beach in my Defender.
Yeah?
On that day where it's pissing down with rain.
Yeah.
Well,
like every day at the moment. Isn't
it? Yeah. And I got my cooking stuff out. I cooked a stir fry in the beach car park.
Okay.
Yeah, and then drove back again.
What, just by yourself, just an adventure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you document it?
No. Sometimes you just need to go on an adventure.
If you didn't document it, it didn't happen. So did you just sit
on
your ass?
I did find an absolutely amazing driving road, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know when we did our £1,500 sports cars video?
Yeah.
And we drove down that road that was so windy that the drone couldn't get up, but we had the FPV drone.
And
they had that lake on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, literally a road coming off there, off that, just before that lake bit.
Parallel, right?
Yeah, parallel. Runs parallel with it all.
Mm.
Best driving road I've ever just seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
In your life?
Yeah, it was fresh.
In your life. So if we go there and it's average, then what?
I would argue that it was fresh tarmac.
Oh, yeah.
It was 60 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Which means...
It was undulating hills, tight corners, like a you could see very far in the distance, so if you get stuck behind someone, you can overtake well.
Should we reveal where it is and then just ruin it for everyone?
No, okay, we will reveal it in a video.
This will be the Auto Alex Road of Fame.
Okay. Maybe I could take my V8 there.
Your new V8.
Yeah.
Your new sporty sports
V8. Aston Martin.
How was your Defender, Rory?
It was all good, actually. Yeah.
Are you going to sell it yet?
No, I love
when
that
When are
thing.
You selling it, though?
I love it.
You should sell
I'm
it.
Not
you should
selling.
Definitely sell it.
I'm not selling it. I love that car.
Right.
If you were to sell one car, what would be the first car
Defender.
To sell?
Say it.
The first one
say
to
it.
Go.
Just say it.
You had to sell one
Just
of
say
them.
It. You can say it.
And don't change your decision just based on Alex's.
Say Defender.
I think it probably, just because you can't use it that much,
Defender.
And I've had it the least amount of time.
Spitfire?
The Spitfire.
Really?
Yeah. He's had all of that work free, by the way.
Yeah, but
it's
I just didn't get to use it that much because the summer was so shit.
It's been a bit crap. Where is the Spitfire?
It's underneath a cover at home.
Oh, brilliant. So you're taking care of it?
Yeah, it's under a cover.
Okay. So you're driving it, you're checking the oil?
I was driving it.
Yeah.
And then, just...
The weather got
rained.
Crap. Yeah.
And then you can't really go out because it's not really exactly weather tight. That
no.
Car.
No. I would be paranoid about driving my classic Mini in the rain because it would just perish.
It would, yeah.
It
Even
would
after
perish
a full restoration.
Immediately, yeah.
Are you out?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Went for a drive, went to Wales, cooked some food.
And worked a lot.
And worked a lot.
We put his new private plate on yesterday.
Oh, really? On what?
On the Aston Martin.
Aston Martin.
I've got, because it's an N400 Vantage. I've now got N400. And then, as you guys will know, all of my other plates end in RMK.
You are such a tart.
So I got N400 RMK.
We love such a private plate.
And Taylor bought me that for my birthday.
Oh, well done, too. Taylor.
It was only half a year late. But
yeah, but do you know what? I'd rather buy you something late that you're actually going to enjoy than something
on
your
birthday. It is very
nice.
I do
appreciate
shit. It.
What did I buy you for your birthday?
You didn't get me anything.
No, I did.
You forgot.
I bought you something in Poland.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Was it that Polish chocolate?
No, it was go-karting.
Go-karting.
Oh, go-karting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me.
Shame. It was only because he forgot about
shame
my birthday.
I missed the go-karting.
I did actually forget about your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like go-karting.
Not this kind of go-karting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very different go-karting.
Why is that?
Anyway, as for me, last week we had quite a fun week, didn't we? We drove all the way to Devon. With the two shit motorbikes, my BMW and Gareth Gyrith, his Bandit, and then we took him off-roading at a place called the Honda Adventure Centre in Devon.
I feel like you've already discussed this last podcast.
Really?
Yeah, because you then announced that you were going to be scrapping the bikes.
Oh, okay.
And then you mentioned that this is your first time towing with your Mark McCann.
Okay. I did that, and... I was going to continue the story.
Okay.
And then she said, no, she didn't. and then that happened.
Are you that old that you're about to repeat your story?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this week, we bought Benji. So Benji is our favorite, one of our favorite editors.
Yeah. He's our only editor at the moment.
Yeah, so he's one of our favorites. Okay. Yeah. He's not the top.
Yeah.
He's the only one, but he's one of our favorites.
All right.
We bought him his first project car. We won't give away what it is because you will see that in a video. When's this going up?
We don't know.
Either tomorrow or today.
Benji would be our favorite editor.
Yeah.
If he had invited us to his wedding. But
yes.
He didn't. So
no.
He's the middle editor.
Yeah, he's the middle editor.
But that's only because he's the only editor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we bought him his project car and surprised him. And it's very nice. And we threw some BCs on it. And we've got some more bits coming for that car. So that will be coming out on Thursday, which is probably when this podcast has come out.
I could tell Benji was really excited because he was messaging me all of last night. Bearing in mind,
he only got the car last night.
And he was messaging me, I'm like, how can I collect it tomorrow? And we're like, but Benji, we still need to finish it. And he was like, yeah, no, but I'll bring it back. And then he was like, I'll collect it. And he was like, can you pick me up on the way? And I was like, Benji, you're an hour and a half further than my journey. I'd literally have a 3-hour commute. And then he was like, okay. All right, I might have to leave it. And then he messaged me about 20 minutes later going, don't worry, I found a solution.
Fair play. He was driving like his hair was on fire yesterday. It was brilliant.
He was.
It's his first time driving a convertible.
Yeah.
Second time driving a rear-wheel drive car.
Yeah. And he just seemed to love it.
Yeah, he did.
You were in the car
happy.
With him on his first drive, Taylor.
Knees were knocking. He was well excited. He loved it. Absolutely loved it. Genuinely.
Oh,
very, very
awesome.
Excited. I think he was so overwhelmed, he didn't know how to show his emotion.
Yeah,
No.
That was Benji really happy. That was
at the end of the day, he showed me his emotion.
Was it a long emotion?
It was long and deep.
getting excited.
And also, I have been enjoying my Porsche Macan GTS, the car that I bought recently, and a car that we did a video on very recently, which is, you know, I want to talk about as well.
Okay, why do you want to talk about it?
Well, because, you know, you said to me, treat yourself. Yeah. You know, I thought, no, I should probably go for a diesel. And both of you were like, no, just do it. You've worked very hard. We're very, very stressful friends to be around. You look fantastic. You smell fantastic.
I can see where this is going.
What?
Are you going to blame our peer pressure on the fact that you're getting 20 miles to the gallon?
No, not even that. What I wanted to discuss actually was I got quite a lot of hate. I got quite a lot of hate the video.
How dare you have a nice
in
car?
The comments, and one comment here says, it's It's unsubscribe time with these kind of flashy look at me style purchases that are shown on the channel. Yeah, I showed you my daily driver. I'm very sorry that you're very offended that I've treated myself.
I'm offended as well. Actually.
I'm so
offended.
You should
have got that car.
I know. I'm gonna swap it. But also, what people don't realise or what people forget is I've literally just had a baby, man. All right, I can't go on adventures, can't do all that kind of stuff. We do need to keep the channel running, which means that, okay, maybe we wouldn't have done a video on this if we were doing, you know, adventures and shitboxes, but I'm like running on empty. I've got like no sleep, trying to look after everything. So we are trying to get videos here, there, and everywhere. And it isn't those adventure style things that take so many days and so much money. This obviously cost a lot of money. But it was a video that we could film. And on the whole, people are like, well done. We support you, blah, blah, blah. But there was a bit of hate. Well, and I'm like, come on, man.
Can I just say that? I don't quite understand it. Because, you know, I would say a lot of people get lease cars and, you know, a lot of people buy a new car on finance, whatever, whether it's a Honda Civic or a base spec 3 Series or something like that. They cost more than the bloody Macan.
They do. Yeah, I mean, a base spec Honda Civic, as we discussed, was it last week or the week before? £35,000
yeah.
For a base spec Civic, and I spent less. Granted, it was still a lot. It is
a lot of money. There is no denying that it is a lot of money. But... sometimes you got to treat yourself.
Yeah.
You got to have a nice car.
Yeah.
And you got to enjoy your little commute. Like, yeah. We, I think between the three of us, we spend like hours and hours and hours in our cars.
Oh, a long time.
I can actually tell you, because I took a screenshot of my trip computer this morning.
Yeah.
So when I got in on my driveway, I like going through the trip computer, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yours tells you since I reset it.
Since I've owned that car, which was last week.
Yeah.
Last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I have done 22 hours of driving.
That's a lot.
826 miles, 40 mile an hour average, and my average consumption, 22.7.
That's not a lot.
To be fair, I did
Someone's half of their working. So in two, what is this? 2 weeks.
I've spent almost 24 hours.
Yeah, but is this over 2 weeks? How long have you had that car?
I don't know. Is it a week? A week and a bit? A week and a half or something?
Yeah, a week and a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
So a week and a half, you spent an average working week is 37.5 hours. Yeah. So you spent a half of an average working week just in your car.
No, more than that.
More than that. Yeah.
22 hours I've done.
Yeah, okay.
So I've done nearly an entire day in that car.
That sounds like a challenge.
I've done it. I'm never doing it again.
On that subject, yeah. I've had the Alpina now for what? 2 or 3 weeks.
You can't have it. It's too flashy. You can't have it.
Right.
Yeah. No.
But it's just 318D.
It's too flashy.
Okay.
It's black. It's got big wheels. You can't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But how long have I had that for now?
A few weeks.
Like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I was looking last night or the night before. Now, bearing in mind, I've done quite a few trips to and from here with a KN.
Yeah.
Because I've been towing. I did a trip with Big Pete before he blew up. I've driven the Mini here and I've driven something else here. My Grey Mini as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I've still done 1,200 miles in that car.
Have you?
Since I've owned
it. That's pretty good going.
Mm.
Yeah.
1,200 miles. Yeah.
So the point is, we do a lot of miles.
Yeah.
And we want a car that is fun, probably fast, because we know we are car guys.
Yeah.
Economical would be nice, but, you know, with the state of Macan, probably not so much. And, you know, we want to treat ourselves sometimes. And I just hate sometimes that people get butthurt about that. And I think there's a bit of a sign of society going to shit a little bit when you can't celebrate someone else's wins.
I think also part of it, because obviously our fans are so used to us buying shit.
Yeah.
That it is a bit different. Yeah. It's a bit of a change when we buy something. Yeah, no, I get
that. But that doesn't mean that a lot of people are like, oh, unsubscribe because the channel's changed. It's like, no. We've literally spent four weeks of doing stuff that's slightly different because of
the baby.
It's
not even 4 weeks. The two weeks prior to us doing these daily driver things were £1,500.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot hatch
exactly,
challenge. Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, yeah. You just can't win sometimes.
Yeah, no, you just can't win. And also lots of people saying, oh my God, you've gone for an SUV. You should have bought an estate. Name an estate that can tow
2.4 tons.
Well, yeah, 2.4, which is what that can do. Yeah. I wanted minimum 2.2, something that was safe, something that was fun, a bit left field. I thought about C63 potentially, but that can't tow. RS6, way too flashy for my liking. I don't find the Macan too flashy. I mean, it is a flash car by proxy, but it's the most boggo spec version of it looks-wise. And loads of people suggesting XYZ, and it's like, but you're completely missing the point. That does not suit my life. So yeah, little rant there. On the whole, 99.9% of people like really, really supportive. So thank you very much.
Also...
yeah.
I think that we cut out the video, which we should have probably left in.
Yeah.
You literally nearly broke down 30 seconds on a live M4 motorway with no hard shoulder.
Yeah, had it been half a mile or 30 seconds before,
yeah,
the engine literally just cut out because of the timing chain.
On the F11?
On the F11. Mm. I would have been on, lane 2, lane 3 potentially?
Yep.
With no power. Literally no power.
And because our government decides that smart motorways are still a genius thing and they're not doing anything about it,
yeah,
it's just dangerous.
It is.
So, I mean, as you know, as fun as it is driving around in the shit boxes and stuff like that, it's not something you want to be doing every day. And especially with you now, you know, having Amelia and having Ryan in the car and stuff like that, you don't
forget Maisie, man.
Oh, sorry, Maisie. No, yeah. Maisie would be all right. Yeah, she'd jump out.
She'd run away.
But yeah, you don't want to be risking that with family.
Absolutely not. No. So, which is why I bought myself a £28,500 very fast Porsche Macan. It's really safe as well.
Yeah.
And it's so fast.
It is.
It's fast, really fast. It? Yeah.
We still haven't tested.
Chested?
Chested? We still haven't tested if it can do launch control with a trailer attached.
No, we need to Let's try just that. Load it up with Betty and then do launch control.
The Betty would, the only thing that'd be left is the wheels.
Doesn't matter. It's
and
under
the chassis.
It's under warranty.
The chassis is rusty as well.
Do you mean the McCann or Betty?
Both.
Oh dear.
Speaking of the whole smart motorway thing, we actually had an email from in inverted commas Brian. Guessing his name is not
that
Brian.
Might be a cover name.
Brian. A cover name.
Hello, Brian.
We were just chatting about smart motorways. Sorry, this might be a bit boring, but it's very important. Brian says, hi, I'm a big fan of all channels and remember in the Car Throttle days, smart motorways were brought up on the podcast, on the post-lockdown podcasts. They were brought up again recently when the F11 broke down and I thought I would let you in on how bad it really is. Who does Brian think he is? I have worked for National Highways. Oh, okay. Well, I've worked for National Highways for many years and work on the M4 smart motorway as a traffic officer. Oh, shit. He's one of them.
But, yeah, okay. So that's the people that they sit on the side and wait for accidents to happen, basically.
when the door mirrors just say, fly off.
Come on, accident.
But that is their job. Because there's no hard shoulder, they have to employ people to just sit there to then block the motorway because it's so dumb.
And they're also there because everyone thinks it's the police, don't they? So if they is a traffic officer there,
all right,
people always slow
that
down.
That is my biggest pet, whatever, peeve. When on Waze, it's marked as a policeman and I get up to it.
Oh, they're marked as police?
Yeah, because a load of people think they're police, so they mark them as police. Mm. And then you get to it and you're like, that's not police.
Is that because it inconveniences you? Because you would have been sat in the outside lane doing 90 and you've had to slow down to 70 because someone's marked it as the police.
No, it's just because it annoys me.
But then he sees it's a traffic officer and he undertakes at 120.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. Just to prove a point.
Yeah, just to prove a point. Mm. Anyway, Brian continues. In theory, a smart motorway is safe. SVD, which is stopped vehicle detection, which is a radar system, detects a broken down vehicle and alerts the control room, who then set red X signals.
Well, that's good.
Lower speeds to 40 miles an hour and deploy a traffic officer. That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
We like smart motorways.
Yeah. Mm.
However, this heavily relies on technology and this is where it gets dangerous. He's all doom and gloom, Brian, isn't he?
Probably truthful, though.
Yeah. A piece of work done by a colleague showed that in 1 month, 15 broken down vehicles were not detected on the M4 and were left in a live lane until they either phoned Highways or 999. That could have been me.
But this is the thing, though. Like, I don't think your average... Like, if my mom broke down in a live lane, I don't think she would know to phone Highways.
No, I wouldn't have a clue to phone Highways.
No.
Yeah, what's the number for Highways?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where do you find that?
I don't think... Would you know to phone the police as well? Or would you just... panic I would literally
just get out of my car. I would run.
Yeah.
I would literally run.
But I don't think a lot of people would. I think a lot of people would sit there, panic, and try and phone a breakdown service, which, you know, let's face it, when you phone a lot of your breakdown services.
Hey, patrol!
Also...
You're on hold, though, for like 20, 30
you
minutes.
You are. And also, imagine... Right, picture the scene. You've broken down in a live lane on the M4.
Yeah.
You've Googled Highways.
Yeah.
Found the phone number. Called them. And then you're describing to the call handler where you are on the
yep,
M4.
Yep.
How many cars do you think have driven past you between you finding the phone
Hundreds,
number?
Hundreds, thousands, maybe.
And any one of them could
crash
face into
it,
you.
It's not even the cars. It's how many lorries have drove past you. Because those are the ones who are going to be smashing into
the back. And it takes one to be slightly distracted or not looking or tired or whatever to crash into you. And then it is horrific.
Yeah.
It is horrific.
So Brian's email actually gets better. He says... Then there are the signs to close the lane, slow everyone down and keep you safe. 11 of these on the M4 smart motorway section do not work at the time of writing this email, and some have been out of action since January 2020.
Oh,
sorry. Once you are out of the smart motorway, however, things do not get much better, as the technology on the regular motorway is very worn out and out of date, with distances of 8 kilometres, which is 5 miles, between working signals, and these have not worked for over 3 years. Finally, and this is the best bit, you know, cherry on the pie here. Finally, the emergency bays on the M4 smart motorway. We know those, don't we?
We have to go past them every single day.
Yeah, we do. They're fantastic, aren't they? No, they're shit.
No, but they're so pointless. And also, it's just like, it's not... You're coming up with a bandage for a solution that isn't... Mm. It's not a permanent solution. You just stick a lane in every mile,
Well, Brian continues. He says, "Well, they didn't build enough of them. And now they are putting more in, which is why there are 50 mile an hour limits from junction 10 to 12
for 2 years.
You go down that way, don't
you?
Yeah.
I have to go past it every time. Yeah. I've got a 10 mile stretch of average speed cameras for 50 miles.
Yeah,
and annoyingly." Rather than them just doing one bay at a time, they seem to just do one bay at a time, but then they've closed the whole stretch of road.
Yeah. But it's not too bad. I mean, how much do you think it costs to install one of these bays? How big are the bays?
Well, so
150 meters long, maybe? 100? No, not even that. Maybe 75 meters long.
Wait, do you want to do my impression? All right, you phone me up and you ask me how much it's going to be for these bays.
Sorry. What, are you the builder?
I'm the builder, yeah.
All right, okay. Hello, fella. My name is Daniel Semensky, and I work for National Highways. We have noticed...
National Highways, right?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I had a price of 100 grand, but I didn't realise you were a government, so...
You ain't even heard me out yet.
Oh, that doesn't matter, mate. Let's times that by 10, and then what we'll do, we'll extend it over a five-year period, actually, rather than... I could have got it done next week, but we'll do it over 5 years. And God, you really have broken that, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm back. Am I back?
Well, let me switch. Let's see if it is just you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then let's what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll do it and then we'll say it's 5 years, but actually we'll take 10.
All right.
And then charge you for that.
Much that?
Well, I'm going to say.
One bay. How much that?
A million a bay.
Nah.
Surely they're not £1 million a bay.
No, they're not. They're 2 million.
No.
2 million a bay.
You are taking the
piss. For a little slab of concrete on the side of the.
Due to these having to be retrofitted, the cost of these is around 2 million per emergency bay.
That is a piss take.
2 million. I know a man that'd do that for 1,500 quid.
Quite literally a piss take.
Yes. So this is all government's fault, and now we're having to go back and redo everything at the cost of 2 million.
And Brian has said about all this technology that's not working on certain motorways and hasn't worked for over 3 years. I tell you what does work.
Yeah.
The speed cameras.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I always make sure they work. You, yeah. If one of them were to break, oh, they would be fixed immediately.
Oh, they would. Yeah, they would. Yeah. But you know, the other thing, sorry.
Like ULEZ cameras as well. They're coming down, but they seem to be going back up very quickly.
There's a lot of bat boxes, though, that have just randomly popped up as well. There's so many bats on the ULEZ boxes. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing about smart motorways, and I brought this up before as well, on the M4, you've got, what, 3 or 4 lanes, right?
Yep.
3 or 4 lanes, all being used. Traffic comes to a stop. There's cars in every single lane.
Yeah.
Because the issue is in front. How do the emergency services get through? There is no hard shoulder.
Oh, true.
There have been so many times when emergency services have had to dive through non-existent lanes and pick cars moving and there's traffic. It just doesn't work. It's just so dumb and so flawed.
The worst thing is as well on this M4 stretch now,
yeah,
because they're putting these bays in, they've then put, not only do you have your solid barrier on the right hand side, you also now have your solid barrier on the left hand side because they're protecting the workers. But that means there's not even like a little bit where you could pull over onto the grass verge or something like that. Like you're forced to stop there.
What we're saying is we're very, very frustrated because this is all a very shit idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's shit. Shall we move on?
And do you know what, actually?
Oh, no.
Just one final point.
Apparently one
final point.
Yeah.
We've gone down to 3 lanes now.
Oh, shit.
On the M4.
On your stretch.
Yeah. So we're 3 lanes all the way.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed a difference in traffic.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
What is that 4th lane doing then?
It's just something to do, isn't it?
Maybe it should be. Because the problem is, when they did have 4 lanes, the only people who use that left-hand lane is truckers, because no one else uses it. And then the truckers still stick in a 2nd and 3rd lane as well. And the next thing you know, you've got these people who are just going, well, I'm just going to use the 3rd and 4th lane. Because
it's annoying, yeah. I've noticed as well on the M4, there is so much undertaking that has to be done.
Yeah. It's because a lot of people just feel like they'll stick in the middle lane, which the middle lane then becomes the middle right-hand lane.
Right, let's move on.
I'm furious by this.
What we're saying is if the government need advice on how to create a proper motorway, then go to Europe.
Because Europe
has some lovely motorways and ours are shit.
Yeah.
And they have 2 lanes.
Yeah. And I notice this whenever we go on a European road trip, we go away, we have a great laugh, we come back, and the closer we get to England, the shitter the roads are. And then you get into England and it is shit.
It's so shit, yeah. And also the lanes are narrower
as
well.
And you get all these people sat in the outside in the middle lane doing absolutely nothing and not moving out of the way. And then you get frustrated when you flash them, brake check you and get angry. And everyone's really angry and frustrated because the motorways are shit.
Mm. Have you noticed as well when they do roadworks in Europe, they literally just pull out a vehicle, stop it with a barrier, and then literally just put out some temporary things, and then they just do the road.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they finish it, and then they go home.
Yeah,
and they put all their cones away.
And they put all the cones away, and then the road's reopened again.
Mm. I had my first wanker sign in the Porsche.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Was it from Rory?
No, it wasn't actually. No, that's just daily occurrence. No, I was on the M4, funnily enough, and there was a man in a Skoda Octavia IV, I think it's an electric Skoda. He was just in lane 4, just like dawdling. And I was like, okay, you're not going to get out of the way. So I started to undertake. And then he put his indicators on and just started moving over, even though he knew that I was next to him. And then he just like put his foot flat to the floor. He probably got up to like 100. And then I overtook him at 150. No, I didn't really. And then he slowed right down. As I overtook him, he gave me the wanker sign. I was like, fair.
Do you know, genuinely, quite a lot, actually, recently. I just give people the finger.
Do you?
Yeah, I find it's quite a nice, subtle way of telling people that they're really annoying me.
Okay, yeah. That they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Well, because, like, I get a lot of people when, you know, there's people sat in the middle lane and I'm in the outside lane, but there's people in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I literally cannot go anywhere.
Yeah.
And someone will sit on my rear bumper. That frustrates me.
Yeah, that's annoying.
If I'm dawdling, fair.
Yeah.
But if I'm literally overtaking someone and I can't go anywhere because there's someone in front of me and someone's tailgating me, that is unnecessary and it pisses me off. So
it's probably Alex.
So what I tend to do...
No, I'll just undertake.
...is I'll let them pass and give them the finger.
Yeah.
Or it'll be, if it's at night, interior light on first, finger, then interior light off. Just so that they can see the finger.
Oh, fantastic. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
But it's quite satisfying as well. I quite like doing it because people sort of don't know how to react. They go, oh...
Anyway, let's move on to Daily Weekend Scrap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this
one. So I asked 3 people yeah. what their dream cars were in the office. Oh, yeah. So I went with Alex, and yours was a...
Singer Porsche DLS, or a Singer DLS.
Yeah, and then I asked Edwin, and his was a McLaren F1.
I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, actually. And then I asked Will, and his was a Pagani Huayra R.
Oh.
So. Which one are we scrapping out of them, boys?
Which one of these is actually the most expensive? I have no idea.
McLaren F1.
Really?
Yeah.
How much is that? A couple of million?
A few million.
Oh, is it a few million?
Mm-hmm. Probably about 5 million.
And then what? And then the Pagani? Or is it then this? I mean, the Singer, I think, is close to a million.
Pagani's a couple of million.
It doesn't matter. I'm just genuinely interested.
I think it's about 1.7.
Okay. Like but what are we picking then? Come on.
All right. I'll start.
All right.
Daily weekends. Oh, this is very difficult. I would daily the Porsche, the Singer. Daily the DLS because I think that's probably going to be the most practical, and I think I'd get the most enjoyment out of that.
Yeah.
I would weekend the McLaren F1 and scrap the Pagani. Pagani doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
That is way too flash. I like that the McLaren F1 is like, you know, a modern classic supercar. It rewrote the rule book, and I have so much respect for that. But yeah, I think that's me. I think that's me.
Tay?
I would.
Come on, we're going to need an answer.
I would daily the Singer.
Yeah, good.
And I would scrap.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some abuse for this. I would scrap the McLaren F1.
Why?
Because you'd have two old style cars and it'd be cool to have something a bit modern. And also, I adore Paganis. Paganis are awesome. When the Zonda came out, genuinely one of my favourite cars. The attention to detail that goes into a Pagani is unmatched.
Imagine one of those with a tow bar.
It'd be incredible.
It would.
And Huayra's, you can take the roof off. It's quite fun. They've got the little removable roof bit. And it's twin turbo V12.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That's mega. Yeah. They're really cool.
You'd never be late, would you?
I'd never be late. No. That is a proper bit of kit. Yes, they are flashy and they are a bit Dubai, but it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine it's the sort of car you see on the M25 and you go, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Nice. Rory?
So I can't remember who said this, but I have to agree with them. I would daily the McLaren F1.
Really? What?
That's quite a cool choice.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but I was like, imagine you dailying an F1. Like, how much of a baller do you have to be that you're dailying
just sitting in the middle of your car as well? Yeah.
Didn't Rowan Atkinson do it for a while? He put quite a lot of mileage on it.
And then he crashed it once or twice, didn't he?
But imagine just turning up to your Tesco car park in an F1.
Yeah.
Like, it's quite cool, isn't it?
That would be cool. Mm. Chris, do you want to sit down there? I feel bad for you just standing.
Chris is here.
We've got Chris here for Chris Time with Story.
Move some shit
Chris
there.
Time with Story.
Which will be coming soon? Singer 2 million. Pagani 3.
Ooh!
12 and 20. You want a daily driver to 20 million car?
Maybe I'll,
imagine
maybe
the
I'll change my decision.
And then
you'd be so baller if you were daily driving that.
Scrap the Singer.
No.
Yeah.
No. There. You can't do that.
Look, the only reason I scrap a Singer is because I feel... God,
we've all got very different answers here, don't we?
I feel like a Singer is like a recreation. Like, you know, it's not... It's
well,
not,
it is a recreation.
Yeah, it's not like an original sort of thing. So
it's better.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Pagani, weekend car.
All right, okay.
So you'd have two V12s.
Yeah, but like the McLaren's just, you know, that's just that's your daily beater, that.
Maybe I'm going to
your daily beater. Jesus Christ. All right, shall we move it on? What do we want to do first? Do we want to do 20 questions or story time with Chris?
We'll do 20 questions and then story time with Chris.
Okay, all right. You're up, aren't you, Taylor?
Is it my turn?
It's your turn. So, is it...
Wait, hang on, just... This is the first time you've informed me of this.
Oh, sorry, I thought you
let me use my cranium to create a motor vehicle.
Insanium in the cranium.
Make sure it's a good one, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't want to... Choose a bad one.
Yeah. And make sure it's not American.
And make sure it's European.
Why can't it be an American?
Because we never get it.
Make sure it's European.
Just give me a minute. Wait.
Is it a convertible?
European hatch.
Wait. You're distracting me.
Pick a convertible.
You're distracting me now. I can't think.
Just think of
Make sure it's a supercar.
Big okay, D's just right through the door.
Big D?
Big D.
Have we got any pictures of Big D?
No, he didn't send any pictures in.
It's not emailed.
Are you sure?
I had a quick scan through. I couldn't see anything.
What was his name?
Big D.
No. While you're thinking of a car, I'm actually going to go into the email address, which is
podcast@autolikescars.com.
Not bad.
And
not bad.
Look for Big D.
Big D.
D.
Big old D.
Dade. Dade. It's Dade. No Dade.
No, nothing. No, nothing from Dade.
So. I don't think so.
Maybe his offer wasn't serious.
No, it has to be serious. Do you want me to read out the email? I never actually read it out.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine.
Manual or automatic, you can take control or let me show you how I can handle a stick. Either way,
nice.
Either way, you're getting all the gears. Durable suspension. I can handle it rough, hard and long. Trust me, I know how to take bumps and leave you screaming for more. High speed performance. Once I start, there's no slowing down until you've hit that finish line.
This has got to be ChatGPT.
I know exactly how to handle those tight curves along the way.
This has got to be ChatGPT. There's no way.
I'm revved up and ready to make your engine roar. Whether you want to cruise slow or go full throttle, I've got the moves to leave you breathless and begging for another lap.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, and he ends with, yours in overdrive, Big D.
That has got to be ChatGPT.
No, oh, Big D, we want to hear from you, man.
It's either that or he's a wordsmith.
Oh, we lost you there for a sec now.
It's either that or he's a wordsmith.
Yeah. Right, car. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is it American?
No.
Oh.
Is it European?
No.
Oh. French. What, French?
No, because it's not European, you tit.
French.
Japanese.
Wait, I've had two, so.
Is it Japanese?
No.
Is it Malaysian?
No.
Chinese?
No.
Is it Asian?
No.
Russian?
No.
Australian?
Yes.
Oh. Is it Holden Commodore?
No.
Is it a Holden?
Yes.
Yes! So Holden is like their Vauxhall, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it could be like a Vectra. It's not. Holden, is it? Oh, no. Is it a pickup truck?
Question 11.
Yes.
Are we counting a pickup truck and a ute as the same thing, or are we?
Well, they're the same thing, aren't they?
Is that a question?
No, it's not.
No, because is it?
No,
is a pickup truck a ute?
It's a ute. That's what
that's
they call
it. No, no, they're different categories.
Yes, he's nodding. And his father's Australian.
No, but the ute's like
shut
the
up.
Car.
Guess
with
a
the...
car, man. Guess a car. Jeez, he's difficult today, isn't he?
Mm.
Does it have a V8 in it?
Question 12.
Yes, it does. Is it Holden Maloo?
13. Yes, it is.
I really like a Maloo.
I drove one of those
really?
When I was working at Autocar. I think it was like one of the first kind of, not press cars that I had, but we had it in to do a review, you know, like the testers would do it.
Mm.
And then I took it home for a night or two nights. No, I had it for the weekend. It was bright yellow. It was amazing.
Oh,
very, very tail happy. And I took our friend James to buy his first car.
Really?
With that car. Yeah, I showed up in this council estate in a £70,000 Maloo and we bought a car for 500 quid. I never felt so out of place.
Fair play.
Yeah, yeah.
I love a Maloo.
They're good.
I've always wanted to drive one.
We need to do a pickup truck challenge at some point.
I doubt I'd be able to afford a Maloo on a whatever pickup truck challenge we do.
I didn't say it had to be a Maloo.
We need to go to Australia.
We don't need to go to Australia.
I've been to Australia.
Have you?
So have I.
Oh, all right.
It's really nice.
All right, calm down.
No, because you couldn't do the flight.
No, that was New Zealand. I could do the flight. They actually let me carry on my flight, the Americans.
No, I mean, like, you can't.
No, he's gone to New Zealand.
I have gone to New Zealand.
How was the flight?
Terrible.
Was that business class?
Yes, I think it was, yeah, because I said to Adnan, who is our former boss, I will only go if I can be comfortable.
Okay.
And then Mitsubishi paid.
That is quite shocking, actually.
Yeah.
I think you must have been the only person ever to fly business class in car for all days, except for Adnan.
Yeah, but everyone knew that I was just scared.
Yeah.
And I was just like, when that was organized, I was in America. So I was so far from home and I already had to like fly back. And I was just like,
I remember that actually. Yeah.
I have anxiety about us going to SEMA. I'm already thinking about the flights.
Really?
I had a dream last night that we were in an aeroplane, normal aeroplane, going through a forest, and I had the bloody window down, taking a video. And I was like, oh my God, we're taking off and I've got the window down. I had to get it up.
Do you know what you need to watch? Air crash investigation.
Oh, I love air crash investigation.
I love a bit of that.
Okay. Do you remember Honolulu flight where the fuselage, the top,
the air hostess went out with it.
She flew out. Yeah.
As long as I'm at a window seat and as long as I can see the wing, which is why people call me Wing Commander Kirsten, I'm all right.
Wing Commander.
Unfortunately, there's no windows on our next flight.
God, I would not get on.
That would be weird. Imagine a plane with no windows.
They're going to be doing it soon.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Are they?
Because they can make a plane, it will last longer because you won't have to cut holes in it, so it won't have cracks in the fuselage and stuff like that.
Not getting on a plane with no windows, man.
And then they can put less structural basing in. So what they'll do, they'll just put monitors in on the side.
Oh, so you can still see?
You still see, but it'll just be looking out a monitor.
Could they just have the plane be an entire monitor so it's like you're floating?
Would that not freak you out more?
That would be funny. I think I would just have to take all the drugs and I would just trip my way to America.
I don't think you'd need to take drugs if you had a big monitor.
If the plane was a monitor. Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's now move it on to
Chris with story time.
Chris, take a seat in the hot seat. And then we're going to need your intro song as well. Have you been working on it? He says yes. He says yes, he's been working on it a lot. Yeah. So this is one of my top three best friends in the world.
Is he one, two, or three?
And I'm excluding Taylor and Rory. They are just mere colleagues. But Chris is my oldest friend. We've known each other since we were 12.
Yep.
And he heads up merch. We are very old.
So old.
Chris heads up merch, if you don't know Chris. He has fantastic stories. So you did Shark Story.
Yep.
Where you had a shark in your 306 and then you were involved in a crash.
And it exploded.
And the shark literally exploded in your dashboard.
Delicious.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then what was the other story?
And then rolling a car down a cliff.
You rolled a car down a cliff in which country?
It was Bulgaria, yeah.
Yeah, and then you felt bad and did what?
I sent £1,000 in an envelope with no letter.
How long after the incident was that?
15 years. When you put it like that, it doesn't sound very sad.
No, it doesn't, Chris, make much sense. No,
but I do feel better.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So it's story time with Chris. We're going to need the intro song. Please go.
Story time. Story time. Let's waste some time. It's story time with Chris. Yeah?
I don't know. You tell me.
Spider pig.
Just spider.
Do you want to do a rap version as well?
Oh, yeah. Story time. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think actually next time I'll come up with a rap.
Okay.
It'll be very cringy.
Need to make a tune, nice. Yeah. Jingle.
And everyone will, if they're listening in their cars, will probably derail.
Derail,
and
yeah.
crash.
Okay.
Don't do that.
No, don't do that.
No, it's we've had enough crashing.
Yeah. Story time. Story time. Story time. Let's waste some time with Chris.
With Chris. That's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what is story time with Chris about this week?
All right, this is a big one.
Oh.
And actually, I have three.
Are we talking about
three.
The Capri now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Is this
you
legal?
Talk about the Capri?
I don't think we can. we can do I it think and then immediately delete
for
it.
Legal reasons.
I think it's been long enough that you can talk about the Capri.
I don't think so.
No.
It was long enough, but there's a moral question here.
Yeah.
Which, yes.
So I've got a story about a plane.
And planes.
One about a train.
Okay.
And one about a boat.
Oh, okay.
But I'll do the plane one today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It fits. By the way, a problem with monitors next to you is, how long is it going to be before Ryanair putting adverts in your face?
Oh, yeah.
That suck.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially when you're crashing.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. So this is a bit wild, so okay. Yeah.
Even strap compared in, to the other two. Buckle yeah. in.
So I like history because I'm a nerd.
Yes.
And I'm interested in the pyramids.
In the pyramids. Okay.
If you want to ever talk about ancient Akkadian history, Sumerians,
yeah.
I'm your man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to go there one day. But I thought I want to go and see the pyramids. But this is in the traveling phase. So after uni still.
Yeah. Is this the Egypt pyramids?
Well, I never do things the easy way, do I?
No, you don't.
So I thought I want to go and see the other pyramids, which are in Sudan.
Okay.
Yeah. So I took a plane down there.
Who with?
On my own.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah cool. Yeah, yeah. As you do.
As you yeah. do. Yeah.
There's so many stories about Chris I have no idea about. Unless yeah. you've told me and I've just forgotten them.
I don't think I've told you this one.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But there are some I do tell you. You're just very old.
Yeah.
So you forget.
It is true. Yeah. That is
I told you like 10 minutes ago. Would you like a biscuit?
I would like. You got a biscuit?
Uh huh. No.
Okay.
Something else you can nibble on?
What?
Same.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go see these pyramids. I flew to Sudan.
Mm-hmm. How long does the flight to Sudan take?
Took ages. Yeah.
Well, like 7 hours.
Thanks for being specific.
Took ages.
Took ages. More than 10 hours?
No, because you've got to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
And then you've got to get a connection down to Sudan.
Yeah.
And then I went from this big airport in Sudan to a little one.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
But it was in the north of Sudan.
Yeah.
And that becomes important.
Okay.
So I went to this airport. I went in the middle of nowhere and I was trying to figure out how I'd get to these pyramids, which aren't really, there's these pyramids in there. You know, the Egypt ones are like square.
Yeah.
These are really spiky, like a tooth, like a sharp tooth. Yeah. And there's some where people never really go.
Yeah.
So I thought I'm going to get to them because that's the coolest.
Yeah.
That'd be the best story in 15 years when I'm on a podcast.
So you did this just for a story?
No, I wanted to be cool explorer. I could have just gone to the bloody pyramids.
Like Percy Fawcett. Have you heard of Percy Fawcett?
No. See the guy who went off in the jungle and disappeared.
Yeah, and then he went back with his son and his son's friend and then he just never found.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. The Lost City of Zed.
Oh, yeah, it's a good
really
book.
Good book. Really good book.
Yeah, I came back though.
Yeah, okay.
I'm better than Percy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I stayed around this airport for a few days trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I went to this bar and I met this guy. In Sudan, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And I met this guy called Jono, who is a wild man. Yeah. I've never met anyone like him.
Yeah.
Right? He came from Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Mm. And he was in the army and he went around in the army because they had battles with the communists, killing a lot of people.
Oh, wow.
This is what he said anyway. And everyone was like, you know, said it was
true. Yeah.
And he told me like, he kind of took a shine to me and he was like, oh, you're a soft middle class boy and you've come all the way here. He was like really excited that I'd done this thing. So he was like, he was telling me about how he used to throw like playing cards on dead bodies with a calling card on there after he killed people in the war and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is someone I got to listen
to. This is quite gnarly, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I couldn't really back down at that point because he was talking me up.
Yeah.
And he was like, I know a way you can get there. And he got his little plane out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a little
plane. What do you mean he got his little plane?
He had a plane.
What? And he parked it at the pub?
We were right next to the airport.
Oh, okay.
So you were in a bar.
He lived in his pub. He lived in his bar and he was a pilot.
Oh, okay. Okay. He was a pilot.
He's a pilot now.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I was more busy on the whole murdering side for a good cause or whatever. So he had this little thing that was like a hang glider. So, you know, like a triangle hang glider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it had a seat in with an engine.
Yeah.
And he was right. I'm going to, you should fly there. And I was like.
So he said to you that you can strap yourself in.
Yeah. Just fly there.
So you are the pilot of that?
Yeah. There's one person fitting one of these.
Yeah.
So he was like, he explained what to do and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, right now, go for a little flight. And I was like, what? So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Sorry, I shouldn't swear, should I? Sorry, Rory. Come on, Rory, swearing. And so what I did was we worked out where it was.
Yeah.
And then I flew halfway there to see if it was possible to fly there because of winds and stuff. Like they don't have much fuel in them.
Yeah.
So what we did was we put loads of fuel underneath me and I flew halfway there and back. And then I flew again and flew there. Okay. This story has a bit of a twist.
I don't believe. So you literally got in this hang glider that you've, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
that
it was like an engine thing, and I flew it there. Just really low, really low down, like a bit higher than a building.
Okay.
That's, just flew okay. along. So my thought was like, if I crash it, I might be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I all right. might okay. be all right.
So, yeah, and then I did it. And this was when the Sudan war was happening.
Yeah.
Like, the war was kicking off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all like a bit sketchy. And he was like, you've got to go now because you've got to leave because the war's coming this way. There were these guys called the Janjaweed who were like a rebel force and they were like, it's all bad.
Yeah.
Darfur anyway. So I flew there to the pyramids. And I flew round and round, and what I didn't expect is that there was boulders everywhere, not sand.
Yeah.
So it wasn't smooth. Like, I couldn't land. So then I went around, and it felt like forever, because I was like, I'm going to run out of fuel or whatever. For about, it's probably about 5-10 minutes, that yeah. was it. And then I landed, and it was fine.
Yeah.
I was like, right.
You landed by the pyramids.
Yeah. And I went and just dug a little hole. There's no one around. Dug a little hole and did a little poop because I literally shit myself. It was that frightening.
You shit in a hole next to the pyramids.
I have never had anxiety like that in my life.
I'm not surprised a random Rhodesian man said, God. Get in this hang glider, fly to the pyramids.
Well, I just don't believe this is...
What? But what was mad was I didn't bring any water with me and it was really hot.
So I was walking
around these pyramids, right? And what's crazy about them is they're near these cliffs. So I went up to these cliffs and then I realized the cliffs are more pyramids. They're just big and old and they've been there for so long. They're eroding like cliffs. So it was crazy.
Oh, wow.
So I was walking around and around the back of one of the pyramids, there was a bit where there's like little boxes and it had fallen apart and there was little mummified little stuff in there, cats and animals and stuff.
Yeah.
But no one had really been there. It was crazy. And then the twist is there was this round thing and I was like, that's different because everything's kind of square.
Yeah.
It's all built. So I went and had a look and I walked over there and sort of went around the back of it. And I looked in because I thought maybe it's a well. And when I bent over, someone said my name in my ear, like Chris, in my ear, like a woman's voice, really like clear. And I didn't look round. I walked straight up to my plane, got in it and flew away. I didn't look back.
Oh, really?
But I think I had heat stroke.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any water. And I was in the sun, like,
Jesus,
hooking up. And then I took off and flew back.
And you didn't die?
No.
Not even once?
No, and then I went home.
What?
But
this is so mental. This is, it sounds made up, but it's so random. You can't make this shit up.
No, well, that's why I was
you
worried.
You went to Sudan?
I was quite worried about telling this because no one will believe it. But then I had to leave immediately because I had a government plane flying any tourists out because the war was on the horizon.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah. But I didn't go home. I went down.
I'm literally amazed that you're still alive because some of your life decisions, and I've known you a long time, are so poor that no life should be able to continue.
I didn't want to back down. He seemed to believe in me.
Well, he did. And you did it.
Yeah.
You proved him right.
And you left a little bit of you next to the pyramids.
You shat in a pyramid.
It was in a little sandy hole. I hope. Do you think it's mummified?
Yeah.
It will be by now. Yeah.
So, right. Road trip.
Go and find Chris.
We'll go
boat.
Find your shit.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Let's do it.
Sudan's quite dangerous still, I believe.
No, it's fine. Okay, £1,500 tank challenge. You up for it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah? And Chris can be in his hang glider, just making sure that the coast is clear.
You won't drive your McCann to Sudan.
I'll run out of fuel. The fuel economy is so poor on that thing.
We can put it on a boat.
We'll put it on a boat. Buy a boat, Taylor, £1,500. I'll buy a tank. Chris will be in the air.
Yeah.
And Rory will just be eating a croissant, which is what he's been doing in the corner of this room. Where did you get that croissant?
Where are ours?
Are there more? Brilliant. Now. Right. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
That's all right.
Completely random story. I never knew that that was in your brain.
Did you take any pictures?
In your life?
No. I didn't have a camera.
How long ago was this?
Thing. So
he didn't even have water, let alone a camera.
No, 2008.
Oh, wow.
It was meant to be a stopover on my way down to Malawi.
Okay.
And I just thought, I'm going to go and see a pyramid. So.
And then you went home?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I went to Malawi for a bit.
Oh, you did actually get
there?
Yeah,
I did. Okay, nice. I did go there. And that was very touristy. It was nice.
Okay. Mm. Fantastic.
Yes, I'll do plane or something next time.
All right.
If I'm ever allowed back.
Yeah, why not? Let us know what you think of Chris's story.
Yeah. Also, no one's done an animal impression yet.
Okay, please.
If
please do one.
Me?
Yeah.
Do you want to? I could do one right now, and you have to guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not really a sound thing. I'll do an impression.
Elephant.
Effalump. Oh yeah, they're going straight for the penis. That's it.
Yeah.
Elephant.
Elephant. Well done.
Thanks.
Effalump. Effalump. It's not a real thing. Taylor.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye, Chris. Chris, with story time.
Right, Rory, you could just eat your croissant in the corner because it's goodbye for us for episode 49. Before we do go, though, on a serious note, I want to say RIP, rest in peace to dad and grandfather Keith Willits, who died on the 19th of September from MND. Keith was an avid Auto Alex viewer, podcast listener, and we, the Auto Alex family, hope that you and your entire family are coping as well as can be expected, really. So, yeah, big love to Keith Willits' family and RIP. Sorry, Chris, did you want to say anything as well?
No, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, okay. All right, from us, thank you very much for listening to the Auto Alex podcast, episode 49. Whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability. And we will be back next week for episode 50. Have we got some merch?
Yeah, so...
you can sit down again, Chris.
Right, hang on.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, I was going away so Rory could come back.
That's all right. No one wants Rory. Rory, what's the podcast email? What's the podcast email?
podcast@automaticscars.com.
It's all right, isn't it? It's
so good at that. Because it's the 50th podcast next week, I don't know what you guys plan to do, but we've come up with a little character.
Yes.
A little... person.
Yeah.
To represent the podcast, so... Maybe if you guys could name that for us next week.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
And then
good,
we'll release a set of T-shirts. Some of them are very funny. They may or may not have a stolen motorbike on there.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do have podcast merch. So, if you like the sound of that, keep listening. We'll let you know the details. Anyway, from us, thank you very much. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.